When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hey everyone, welcome back to the Track Limits podcast. We are super excited to debrief on the Saudi Arabian Grand Prix. How's everyone doing?
Good, can't wait. Oh yeah, let's do it.
Yeah, I'm doing all right.
Was it a more entertaining race than Bahrain or less?
I think it was a much more entertaining week leading to the actual weekend.
What happened in the week?
Helmut potentially suspended, but until we found out,
I guess. There's so much controversy. That there's actually more drama happening off track than there is
on track.
On track.
Correct.
Outside of, you know, Ricardo and Yuki Tsunoda at the end last race.
They made love. It's okay.
Oh, yeah? Did they they made love?
Yuki came out and said as well. He was like, yeah, he apologized.
Sorry?
Yeah,
they went on a date?
They went on a very special date.
They're best friends again. They hugged it up.
Yeah.
But yeah, the race was also a lot more jam-packed because there were a couple other races outside of the F1 series. So that was a lot more racing for me to watch. Had to sneak it in between work meetings and everything. So that was entertaining. I don't know. And the actual race was also okay.
Yeah, Penny, you'd agree.
Yeah, it was okay. Another 1-2. Let's go. Oh, you see, I'm wearing the hat backwards. I can't. People don't even know what I'm wearing.
Da, 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 da.
You know we're going to listen
right
to this.
Right,
22 weekends.
I'm actually terrified. We were talking about this. I'm terrified that Max has a chance to win all 24 races. And he might do it.
I think Checo might squeeze in a win.
Not a chance.
I think.
Okay, unless there's a reliability that comes into the issues.
No.
Huh?
But even if, like, outside of reliability issues, he still walked away with 8 seconds. I think he was having a game with himself because every two laps he's like fastest lap. He was on the hard tire and he was setting fastest laps.
Checo did set the same pace as Max did. So they, like, he has opportunity. If he starts in P2, he needs to start behind Max. If there's any chance, you can't start behind someone because look, he already got like 7 second gap by the time he passed Charles on the restart or whatever it is. Or no, in the restart, he had to pass two people. He had Chuck, I think, who was it?
Lewis
and Norris. He had to go through.
Yeah, that's true.
Right? So it wasn't even a battle to start with. But we need to see it, and I think it will happen.
But it wasn't, like, I did actually enjoy the race because it was for the first time, the TV was like, it was away from the top, the mid-pack. And it was the back of the pack. There was like a six-race battle, DRS train. It was actually quite exciting to watch. Like, Albon was making some good moves. Yuki was hanging in there. Danny had a bad... He had an unlucky spin, let's say. But then to see Ollie Bearman do so well as well, like, that was really exciting to watch.
Bearman.
Bearman now, though.
That's the Toronto man's coming Bearman out.
Oh my God, stop. Ollie Bearman.
No, that was his... this is actually insanity. But what do we... Okay, so I was saying before we started, I wanted to talk about the butterfly effect. Obviously, you know about the Albon appendicitis butterfly effect.
Right, and what it led to.
Okay, so what did it lead to?
Nicholas Latifi crashing.
No, so
that's the meme.
Well, of course. Effect. Albon had his appendicitis, which led to
Nick DeVries
coming in, and then Liam Lawson, kind of taking in or stepping in when Danny Ricks hurt his hand.
Yep.
Because obviously Nick DeVries choked.
Yep.
Danny Ricks replaced.
Yep.
And then what happened from Liam Lawson?
He got it. Well, he didn't actually get a seat. But he scored points.
Similar to Ollie. Yes.
But I think it's a different circumstance.
Yes.
Because he's not part of that Red Bull family, and there is a seat at Haas probably open for next year.
Oh, 1,000%. Mm-hmm. But obviously, so what do we think this appendicitis will lead to? Because that butterfly effect of Albon led to Lewis moving to Ferrari, obviously.
Yep.
Oh,
yeah.
That's a long butterfly. You're pulling on the longest string.
That is actually what the butterfly effect
What? Lewis to Ferrari? How does that match with anything with
20 minutes Albon later?
Yeah. I actually took notes.
Okay.
Oh, bring God.
Okay. So, obviously, Nick DeVries, I just said the Danny Ricks bit, right? Uh-huh. And then what happened? So, when Liam Lawson came in, what happened? Now I've lost my train of thought.
Nothing. He just raced for like 5 seconds.
He kind of proved himself.
But like, it had nothing to do with Lewis Hamilton going to Ferrari. That's just pulling on the longest string in the world.
To be fair, I will say one thing going back to Ollie. Yeah. The fact that he found out, an hour or two before the session began yesterday, he jumped in, did a decent performance in qualifying, almost knocked out Lewis. Which is pretty incredible. And then today in the race, I mean, the composure that he had, especially in those final laps where you have Norris and Hamilton coming up really fast behind you. Unbelievable.
There was I don't know if the commentator was saying it, but he was matching the pace of Alonso and George Russell.
That's insane.
I think he was like 400ths of a second away or off.
That's incredible.
And even if you think back, was it 2-3 years ago? Remember Lando in Austria? And Lewis was coming up behind him. And Lando was like on the radio, like he was kind of panicking. He was hitting the clutch every time he was gear shift, and he thought it was an engine failure.
Yeah.
And then, you can see he was so passionate. Yeah. And then you compare Ollie today, he was so calm, cool, and collected. Yeah. And he was even asking, hey, what lap will he catch me? Will he catch me? All of a sudden, he pushed again and pushed again on used hards. So his level of composure, his awareness, and even his straight out baldiness. Yep. He was going for it.
First lap was dangerous.
Turn two. Oh, not many people would do that. They'd be like, hey, this is like my first time in a car. Let's not wreck the thing.
Yeah.
He's like straight in there.
His dad.
Oh, man.
He was holding his breath the entire time.
It was crazy. But it was awesome to see from someone again who, in F2 hasn't actually scored a point yet this year.
Yeah.
Actually, but in F1 now has more.
He has scored 6 points in this race, which was half of what Haas scored all of last year.
Yeah,
it's incredible. Sign him up.
He's still in a Ferrari.
Obviously, I'm comparing Haas with him because he's a
potential driver.
Yeah, potential driver, and he's obviously being shopped around, I'm sure, for other.
After today, though, I don't think he should go there. I think K-Mag is the greatest driver.
Let's talk about the penalties.
That is the new... I don't know. Okay, which steward did he fight with before the race started?
Even Vettel said a good one today. She's like, he's the new Ocon. Penalty after penalty.
I was like, wait, is that Ocon? He's like, no, K-Mag.
I don't think we've ever, and I think Sam Collins broke it down very well, 10 seconds for driving off the track, coming back on... Typically never given a 10-second penalty, given 5.
What happened? I don't understand.
There's no advantage gained either.
Literally.
No.
So even if there was, give the position back. If not, that's 5 seconds. So the 10 is, they just made that up in the spot. That's outrageous.
Bumping Albon a little bit. I mean, even Albon after said he thought it was a racing incident.
Did he?
He said, fair enough, we got a penalty, but he was like, I just saw it as a racing incident.
He just didn't, Magnussen probably didn't think he was going to squeeze in on that side. He's like, I'm about to take the racing line back because it's a high-speed corner. Right, so he just didn't check his mirrors.
I did see that, and I was like, God damn it, Magnussen, give it a little bit of room. Because that was in the main straight. Albon left him a lot of room in the first corner. Yeah. And then, I think it was quite lucky Albon didn't get wing damage. Or maybe he did, I'm not too sure. But he never pitted afterwards.
No, he didn't.
But that was still very aggressive from Sears, 10 seconds. Even the commentators are like, what the hell?
Well, speaking of penalties, the fact that Norris had a jump start, a false start, which was very, I guess, obvious when you're seeing it from, I don't remember whose car.
It was George Russell's helmet cam. It was very obvious.
And so they didn't penalize him for that. And then you see, obviously, Alonso and Checo, when they penalized Checo for unsafe release. Yeah. And then these, we're like, how are you so allocating these penalties? And I obviously have not read the rule book.
Yeah.
Maybe that's my next
first comment. Read the rule book.
Whatever. We're still learning and living.
FIA is going through their own scandals right now, and they're like, let's just be strict. Let's just throw everyone off book. Let's just start handing out penalties so they forget about the investigation that's currently happening.
Do you think it's random? Are they trying to, stoke the fire?
I don't think they are.
No. The only one I see.
That was crazy.
That seemed really weird. But to be fair, and this is my problem with F1 since even 2021. It's some of the rules are very much gray, And sometimes there's way too much power given to the stewards versus like reading the rule book and actually sticking to it or looking at precedent and being like, how did we adjudicate that situation 3 years ago? Well, okay, maybe we should go in line, right? Like for the jump start, look at Vettel in 2019. Yeah. Was it similar? No, it was different.
Yeah.
Right? Mm. So like, I just don't understand how with Norris, the jump start, it's so obvious. Like we were even talking about in the F1 game, the minute you do that, you're getting a drive-through penalty. It doesn't matter if you're in your box or whatever.
I think sometimes it comes down to like, it's was there an advantage given? Yeah. Right. And I think sometimes then there's user discretion of like going, Lando jumped initially, but braked
right away.
So then what was in question was he started outside of his grid box. But again, that should be clear cut. If you start outside your grid box, it's a penalty and it's a set penalty. It's 5 seconds or 10 seconds.
Yeah.
Magnussen going off and back on the track. That could have been a warning, a black flag.
We've seen that so many times.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. From other drivers.
Yeah, that was crazy. Him and Albon, sure. To me, okay, maybe it's not a race, it's a penalty. But where are you getting 10 seconds? No. It's always been 5.
Yeah.
And then even back to the Lando one, I think we were in lap 10. And even you could hear his engineers being like, yeah, we don't know what's going on. Like, because if he did get this penalty, I believe he could have served it in the pits.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But he didn't know. Through.
But he didn't know. So then you use the tire compound you're on, which again is kind of like a little bit like, what the hell's going on?
At least we now know, though, that Haas figured out a way to score points. Let one of the drivers just get a crap ton of penalties and then hold the entire pack back and the other driver will score a point.
You know, RB is going to protest that, they said.
Really?
Yeah, they are.
I mean, it's honestly rightfully so.
They're like unsportsmanlike racing. I was like, have you seen Alonso?
Sorry, explain. What do you mean?
Apparently, it's like he was holding the grid back purposely. So they're going to find like data to be like, we're going to fully protest this.
I mean, what if his car was just simply not fast enough?
Well, that's where the data will talk because they are.
They'll look at him like lifting.
Obviously, off.
But then he can be like, I'm saving my fuel. I'm saving my tires.
Yeah. But also, that's being like, that's strategy.
Yeah.
That's team. That's why, even though this is an individual, you know, race, it's a team sport, right? There's two, there's a whole team behind, but there's two race car drivers. So it makes, I mean, I don't. Unless there are rules in the regulation that state
gray
the
area,
opposite,
FIA.
I don't know. I just think this is actually smart, and it's not like it's probably not the first time this has happened.
No,
I mean teams always help each other with towing and like really slowing down. Like think about the Ferrari last season when Sainz and Charles Leclerc were kind of trying to find like having a
Singapore,
proper delta. Yeah.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Oh, Singapore. Coming back to my butterfly effect.
Oh, God.
This is what has happened. Sorry. Okay. And this is actually a widely speculated phenomenon that has like taken, you know, the social media world by, you know, on fire. It set it on fire. Okay. So when Liam Lawson came in and he actually knocked out Max in Singapore Grand Prix.
Okay.
It's said people speculating that. Well, Lewis got to see like the potential in the team and therefore sparked his decision to making a move to Ferrari. Swear, this
like
is
I
not
said,
me.
Pulling the string.
This is not me.
I don't want to talk about this.
Me.
I don't want to talk about this.
I support you, girl. I support you.
What?
Thank you.
Happy. What do you guys think? I'm curious. Do you believe in the butterfly effect?
It's a butterfly effect is not just
in F1. The way that we're talking about it.
You know what the cool thing is? It's like we see with Ollie coming in, you see with Liam Lawson coming in. It's like there's so many talented drivers, and it's such a pity there's not a showcase.
Yeah.
Because like you and I even think now, like you see Magnussen left sport, came back. Hülkenberg left the sport, came back. Alonso, like he's still in it, and then you've all these young drivers waiting for their chance. A lot of them, their shelf life is kind of
Drugovich, Terry Porcher.
Yeah. And then it's such a pity if I knocked out Andretti from trying to enter the sport. It's like, I don't know, it's weird.
Yeah.
Well, speaking about just like wider access into F1, I wanted to talk about the F1 Academy.
Yes.
You guys watch?
Oh,
the
yeah.
Two races?
It was very exciting. Can we talk, however, about what a messy second race
before that was. We get there, do you know how iconic this was, though? The fact that in like four or 5 years ago, or maybe I don't know how many years, because COVID has really messed up with my head in terms of time, women couldn't drive in Saudi Arabia. Like they could not, they were had no legal rights to drive. And now we have women racing. And it was the first race of this series. It was and on women International Women's Day.
Yeah, no, it was good.
Which is incredible.
Maybe planned.
Yeah.
Just definitely planned.
The stars did align. But it was, I set aside some time to tune in. And I'm so glad also that it's just so accessible. You can watch it on YouTube. You can watch it for free on, or I think it's mostly for free on most channels that are readily available to like most basic cables for across the world. And it's YouTube live, so. If you don't have cable, you could watch it on YouTube. It's great.
Good internet.
And Dorianne Pin obviously did incredible. And we saw Dorianne in Portugal last year.
She's a beast.
She's a beast.
Yeah.
She was a part of Daniil Kvyat's endurance racing team, Crema.
Yeah, he talked about her when we met him in last year.
And he was blown away by her. Yeah. A lot of people are saying that she could be one of those people that gets an F2 and actually does incredibly well.
And hopefully an F1.
And hopefully an F1 down the road. But that's obviously, I think the next step for her would definitely be F3, F2, get in there. And, you know, you also have other people like Abby, you know, and Maya.
Yeah.
Maya was in Italian F4 before, which is pretty incredible. So there's like a lot of talented drivers right now in F1 Academy.
Yeah. But we might be seeing the Max effect in F1 Academy too.
To be fair, she's currently P3 in the standings.
Who?
Dorian.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, but because...
No.
I think we need to recognize why.
Yeah. I know.
Dimitri. People were like, what if they have a title fight? I'm like...
It's just so crazy because obviously I don't know if anyone watched, but at the end Dorian had won, but it was stripped because she ran an extra lap after the black checker flag was out, which is very unfortunate miscommunication. And it was pretty chaotic second race. There was three yellow flags, maybe four.
I think three.
Yeah. And they were all very much three laps in or very early in the middle, as soon as they got going, and then again just before the end. So it was very stop and go kind of race, very chaotic, and I'm sure she was just incredibly focused on the race. But oh my god, it was a very not cringe, but I was just like, oh stop. Checkered flag, what is she doing? And everybody
you live and learn
of course.
You gotta make
and I just
mistakes.
Feel bad that she lost her podium.
Yep. But hey, they actually followed the rules on that one.
They did.
Well done, FIA.
I know. We were having a chat about this on the way. He's like, is it harsh? Is that too harsh? I'm like, rules are rules, unfortunately. And if we want to exist in a...
No, 100%.
Space, a fair race.
Go on Abby Pulling.
Oh, yeah.
But justice for Leah.
Going back very quickly to F1, I want to talk about two other teams. I want to talk about Alpine. So, obviously, a very tough start to the season.
Yeah.
Gasly had to box first lap, likely gearbox
that
issue.
Was a gearbox issue.
I don't even think he could complete the formation.
No, he completed.
He couldn't get past gear six.
So, he couldn't shift. Was that
he could shift up past gear six.
And then Ocon actually had a good race. In a car that is so uncompetitive.
Where
he was up
finish?
to 13-12th at one point. Yeah. I don't know where
he was
now.
In that DRS battle.
He was fighting. Yeah. But all it took was one of them two to crash out because they were in such a bad fight that you could easily get a couple of positions as well.
Exactly. Yeah, even when K-Mag was fighting Yuki, that was such a fun fight to watch. When K-Mag came back, Ocon took advantage of that to get past Yuki as well.
Dude, those two have history. Those two, man. Just can't have them side by side.
No, but it's good, though. It's good.
It's exciting.
Yeah, it's exciting to watch.
But yeah, those moments were probably kind of, in my opinion, the best moments of the race.
Yeah, they were televised the most. It was a good fighting. Yeah. It was good battles.
Yeah.
The front of the pack were kind of run away with it.
Albon actually did say during the post interview, he said that we actually kind of switched cars with Haas. They're Haas, you said last week, have a crazy top line speed. They've somehow fixed their tire degradation. I know this track is not a good representation because there wasn't high deg, but I think we'll find out again in Australia when we go in 2 weeks that they might actually have a strong car again. Haas.
Yeah, because Haas are doing well, and Hülkenberg especially. He's out qualifying Magnussen by a fair margin.
But race pace is good.
Race pace is good. That's why even for your predictions, you all put Alonso top three. But like
they had a high driver.
Okay, but that
Aston Martin is like the Mercedes of last year. We're in low fuel load and sticky tires. It's a rocket ship. Heavy fuel load, it's a completely different car.
For sure.
And even even as well as another comparison would be the McLaren today with Piastri behind Lewis with the DRS, it was making no effect. So the Mercedes, as much as it's not good in the cornering, it's got some top end speed. Now maybe they made those adjustments for that weekend, but it's going to be exciting to see how it goes throughout. But Australia, it's a great track. I'm very excited for Australia.
But honestly, it was also ridiculous seeing, who was it, Lando Norris and Lewis battled that last five laps. And it was just like, Lewis would catch up to him on the straight. And then that first sector, gone. Like gone. You can literally see it from camera to camera angle. It's like you will see Lewis just, or Lando zip by, and then you will have to wait. And then you see Lewis zip by.
Lewis even commented to his team, he's like, damn, that
he's impressive.
Because I mean, I would feel demotivated if I was catching up, getting 0.3 away, and then after sector one, you're like, where'd he go? Like, just, he was right here.
That was crazy.
Australia is next. Very fun track. What do we think? Anything going to change? Is Checo potentially going to take the battle to Max in Australia?
No.
There's nothing that we've seen so far would lead us to think that way.
If he finishes in P2, like I said earlier, in qualifying,
could be exciting.
I think that would be an exciting fight.
Checo needs redemption from last year. Remember, he couldn't even put down a practice lap? But seriously, he spun practice one, practice two, practice three, and in qualifying, he... Did he crash in qualifying?
No.
He
started in the back of the grid.
He did something in qualifying.
He got kicked out in Q3. He crashed.
Yes, he did.
And there were two safety cars last year, especially the final one. Chaos happened, especially for the Alpines at the end. So
and Albon went off as well. No, it'll be an exciting race.
I hope. I mean, we want some excitement on the track this time.
Because it's 2 week break. Sainz will be back, right?
Because
he'll be recovered from surgery.
First of all, I've had friends that have had an appendicitis, and they're out. A commission for like
bedridden,
need a walker 3 days post op and walking around. The fact that that man strolled in,
strolled in injured,
strolled in. Well, he, I mean, if you see the video, he's really
gingerly walking. He was that man was sore,
but I mean, what an athlete,
trooper. But I'm curious, will he be back? Because
I don't know,
that's a lot to put on than the toll,
and if he isn't. Ollie Bearman, round two.
You better believe he's got to be there.
After today's performance.
You reckon Stroll was very disappointed with himself? He was the only real DNF that hit anything. Like, he hit the wall. I love the way
Alonso hit the wall too, actually.
He did.
But he didn't DNF, but he did touch the wall.
Just a little kiss.
It's that Aston Martin, you know.
I love the Aston Martin, was his team engineer. Someone's like, can you bring the car back? And it's about half a meter into the wall.
For Stroll.
Stroll.
I don't know about that team altogether.
If they fix that, the heavy fuel load, they're fast.
They're so fast. But I think I just, ever since halfway through last year, I just feel like it's been a consistently.
But we don't know. They could be the McLaren of last year.
That's true.
And they could be working in these upgrades. Yeah. Give it 2-3 races. Yeah. We could be shocked.
I actually was saying to Michael, I think the RB team, it might have a similar comeback to as McLaren did last year. I think they're probably going to figure it out and have some upgrades halfway through or three-quarters way through that I think will maybe bring them back. In a fighting chance.
But it is good to know that going in Australia, we have the pecking order now. I mean, obviously Red Bull's up here, but then Ferrari's definitely, I think, in its own class as well. But then you have, you know, the McLaren, the Mercedes, the Aston Martin that likely are going to be track specific now in terms of which ones they do at. But it's also kind of demotivating when you think now that the top 10 could literally just be those five teams.
Kind of.
Right?
And we were just joking about earlier, like, it's Red Bull's season. It's as long as Ferrari's strategy kind of get their game together, they're taking P2 and the constructors.
Which is why I think last week's or the last race's battle with RB switching position matters because of the tiebreaker.
Correct.
Well, yeah, when you look at back
now,
because if the top five teams end up getting all their points and you all end with zero, the positioning will matter then.
Speaking of the RB team, I know it's early in the season. But Danny Ricciardo versus Yuki.
That's early on.
I know it's early on, but like
Ricciardo had a car issue after qualifying also.
Did he?
Yeah. That limited him.
It's just weird. Like I have such high regard for Danny. And we give him a lot of grace. The Renault, he did well. He got points. He got a podium, sorry. But it wasn't his car. McLaren, I just feel he never found
his... Got a win, but not his car either.
Yeah, but he did. Yeah. He didn't have that confidence. Mm-hmm. And now he's in the RB. And I know you have to give him time. Yeah. But there's an inkling there being like, oh.
When are you going to show up?
Yeah.
Was he... Oh, yeah, I said that. We were talking about it. We're like, is he... the most overrated driver right now?
I'm not going to... Those words aren't going to come out of my mouth.
I just question... These are thoughts, intrusive maybe, but they do come up because you're like, I haven't seen anything special.
Yep.
Yeah.
Not yet.
But it's his 22
more races to go.
Yeah, we got a lot of races to go. But you know what I mean? First impressions right now, Yuki's out qualifying him.
Yep.
Yeah. He's have better race pace than him. It's definitely still not ending up in the points, though.
100%.
What's that?
Still not ending up in the points, though.
Hey, lad, it's early days.
It's tough. I find Yuki gets into Q3, he does a great job, and then the race comes around, and oh my God. Yep. Especially today, I think he got eaten alive by like 5 or 6 drivers.
He did.
Yeah, he was very sad.
It was like a highlight reel. overtaking Yuki the whole race.
Right, the sponsors love it.
Oh, yeah.
He got all the attention. Visa's like, yeah.
We still don't have Cash App here.
No.
Yeah. I don't think it's a universal thing, so.
No, not yet.
Just American.
Yeah. We have in-track e-transfer.
Woo! Yay, Canada.
The GOAT.
That is a wrap. I want to give a special shout-out, by the way, to a very special group of people. I see you, Mercedes pit crew, under 3 second pit stops. Woo! I love it.
I was like, where are you going?
2.5 today, people. Blown away. Actually blown away.
Starting to hit their
standard
goals.
Standard is 1.8. But
wait a second. Who's the lowest right now? The fastest pit stop.
Steak.
Lies.
Did you see what they did today?
Your boy.
last week was Bottas. This week Joe. It is Joe.
Okay, they have a nut issue. Their rear right.
Yeah.
The guy actually tossed the wheel, and then the nut came out.
Yes.
And they had to go run and get another nut, and it was like a 40-second pit stop.
I was like, they are having a nut issue, and you're like,
dirty mind.
No, I thought you said they had the fastest. I'm asking who is the fastest.
He's
currently.
Sarcastic.
Oh no!
Who's the fastest?
It's either Ferrari or Red Bull.
Yeah,
Ferrari, Red Bull.
Yeah.
Ferrari.
So far, yeah.
Yeah, but McLaren holds the record.
But 22 more races to go. Hope you guys enjoyed this reflection episode. Do you believe in the butterfly effect?
You better.
Specifically for that situation, we want to know in the comments below, and we'll see you guys.
And where do you think this Ollie Bearman butterfly effect will take us?
Oh. I have no idea, but we will find out soon. See you guys in the next episode. Peace.